Yes, I love it.
Sweet, he's giving me 300 boxes of grape nuts flakes.
Friends anybody ever had. And it's funny, but I feel as if I've known you all the time.
I love music, good music, but not swing. I sing.
Hi, and welcome to the Movie Magic Podcast. Each week, we will dive into a certain star and talk to some people who know much about him. I'm Kate, your host, and welcome to the Movie Magic Podcast. Hope you enjoy it. Hi, and welcome to the Movie Magic Podcast. Tonight's episode is Marilyn Monroe, and we will be talking with Sammy, a researcher on Marilyn Monroe. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Sammy, welcome to the podcast.
I'm so excited.
Oh, this is going to be a great episode. I can't wait to dive into a bombshell blonde today. Yes, ma'am. Marilyn is one of those blondes that have to be spoken about, and you know a lot more about her than I do.
Yeah, I really hope I can just, you know, do her justice and honor the truth.
Absolutely. So let's start when and where she was born.
Okay, so Marilyn was actually born as Norma Jean Mortensen. Mm-hmm. She was born in Los Angeles County Hospital in Los Angeles, California on the 1st of June, 1926 at 9:30 in the morning, which is actually the same time I was born, which is crazy.
Wow.
I know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll talk about a little bit about her mum first, I guess.
Please.
So her mum, I'm really bad at pronouncing. I think it's wait, can we stop this for a sec?
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I just had a blank. I, like, can't remember how to pronounce her mom's name.
Do you want me to look it up?
It's... I'm just having a blank. I pronounced it earlier.
Marilyn Monroe's mom. Gladys?
Gladys, that's it. Cool.
Gladys Pearl Baker.
Yeah. Her first name, yeah, I got it.
Alrighty.
Alright, I'm keen to go.
Yeah, wasn't Gladys, like, mentally insane or something?
Yeah, so she was actually diagnosed with maniac schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. And she had to be institutionalized. So little Norma Jean was actually moved around quite a lot in her childhood. She lived in exactly 11 foster homes.
Wow.
Yeah. So her mum was from a Midwestern family, who basically migrated to California. And when she was only 15, she married a man named John Newton Baker, who is actually quite abusive. And he was 9 years her age. So they had two children named Robert and Bernice.
Mm-hmm.
What a lot of people don't know is, I think, Robert was Marilyn's half-brother, and he actually died pretty early on. He was born in 1918 and then died in 1932.
Mm. Any reason how?
I actually haven't found the reason.
Hmm.
I think it was some sort of illness.
Hmm.
So, and Bernice still alive today. She's 101, which is insane.
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
is actually still alive today, which is insane. She's 101.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so throughout Marilyn's childhood, it was quite rough. As I said before, she lived in 11 foster homes, and with one of the families she was at, there was a man there who had rented a room, and he went by the name Mr. Kimmel. He actually sexually abused her when she was only 9 years old. And I think she was actually one of the first Hollywood stars to talk about this. That was in 1950.
Mm-hmm.
But no one believed her when she told her foster mom she got slapped in the face.
Mm.
And was referred to as a sinner, which is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
So she lived with her mother's best friend, named Grace Goodard, and her family, briefly. And Grace actually became her legal guardian in 1936,
mm-hmm.
but didn't actually take her out of the foster home until 1937. And so I think, you know, that was like hard for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was moved to Grace's aunt,
mm-hmm.
named Anna Lower.
Mm-hmm.
And Marilyn described, you know, her great aunt being kind of the only person who really understood her, and the only person who she really felt loved her, and the only person who she loved. Anna was a Christian Scientist and would teach Marilyn a lot about her religion. And then later on, Anna actually became ill, so she had to move back in with Grace. And during that time, she was enrolled in Emerson Junior High School. And there's a quote where she talks about how, you know, she loved singing, loved English, basically hated math. She was very much a daydreamer, very, very quiet, and kind of always dreamed about wanting to act.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she turned 18, Grace was actually moving to a different state and wasn't able to take Marilyn with her. Actually, sorry, she was 16. And so she had the choice of marrying their neighbour, who was James Daugherty. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Daugherty.
Yes. So he was 21 at the time.
Oh my god.
And they ended up marrying on the 19th of June in 1942, which was just after Marilyn's 16th birthday.
Oh man.
So she ended up dropping out of high school and basically becoming a housewife. And Jim often describes her as being, you know, really sweet, caring about animals, but she wasn't really interested in becoming a housewife. You know, she was very much wanting to focus on her career and, like, kind of making it in the world. And, yeah.
So, can you talk about how she got into Hollywood or how, like, it led up to Hollywood?
Yeah, so, basically, she needed a job. So, she found one in a factory called Radioplane Company. Basically, Jim went off to join the Navy. And so she was kind of by herself. So a photographer showed up to the company. His name was David Conover. And he was really interested in taking photos of her. And, you know, at first she was kind of hesitant, but then she agreed to pose for the couple of photos. So it really started from there. In August 1945, she signed a contract with the Blue Book Model Company agency, and often when she was modeling, she would use the name Jean Norman. And she used to, like, straighten her hair. She actually dyed it blonde.
So she wasn't a natural blonde.
Well, she kind of grew up having brown hair. But I think, I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that she, when she was really young, she actually had blonde hair.
Okay.
And then it kind of turned into more brown as she grew older.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she did a lot of pin-up modeling, basically, and she was featured in a lot of advertisements and fashion and men's magazines. And then basically she divorced with her husband Jim in October of 1946. She continued to do work in his modeling, but she really wanted to do acting. So she went to a bunch of auditions and then basically was finally able to sign a contract with 20th Century Fox. And she was paid about $75 per week.
A lot of money in those days.
Yeah, definitely. And a man named Ben Lyon, who was the chief talent scout at Fox, basically told Norma Jean that she was to change her name because it wasn't the name of a movie star. So she suggested the last name of Monroe, which was her mother's maiden name. And then she really wanted to keep her first name or even use Jean. But she was made to change it. So Ben actually came up with Marilyn after the Broadway star Marilyn Miller, which is funny because she actually ends up being Marilyn Miller with her third husband, Arthur.
Yeah.
And then in 1949, she posed for Tom Kelly, who took her infamous new calendar photos.
Oh my god.
Because basically she needed the money.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. so that was kind of how she made it.
Mm-hmm. What were her first films, do you know?
Yeah, so at first she kind of had small roles. During the first 6 months of her contract, she wasn't really getting any roles, so she was really dedicated to acting, singing, and taking dancing classes. And she would often go to sit in like other studios to observe how people act and get herself out there a bit. So her first films were a film called Dangerous Years and Scotta Who, Scotta Hey.
Yep.
So she had a really small part in Scotta Who, Scotta Hey. She's like walking down the steps of a church and she says hi Rad. And then there's also a clip of her in a canoe, but that was actually cut out.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I guess Dangerous Years was another early film. She played a character named Evie, Yeah, so those are basically her first few roles.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of her most famous ones. So what do you think would be her most iconic roles? Because I know Gentlemen's Prefer Blondes is one.
That is my comfort film. I watch it all the time. so that's definitely one of the most iconic films. This was sort of her first, like, kind of big break, I guess. She was really anxious during this time. This was 1953, so she was basically terrified because she wanted to be taken seriously as an actress, and she was really worried that people wouldn't see her like that. And basically it would take her hours to come out of her dressing room. So Jane Russell actually was really lovely to her on this film, and would sort of go into her dressing room, you know, kind of reassure her, everything's going to be fine, let's walk out together. So that was so sweet. And then this film actually was really special to Marilyn because her and Jane were chosen to imprint their handprints and footprints at Grauman's.
Grauman's. Yeah, I love that footage of them. They look so precious together.
It's so beautiful. There's a quote that Marilyn says. She turns to Jane and she said, "Is this forever?" or something like that. And it's just, it makes me cry. And actually, when Marilyn was a child, she would go to the movies with her mum, and they would always sort of, they would always walk into sort of the Chinese theater, and Marilyn would put her hands and feet in the other famous stars at the time in their prints, and she would just hope that she would get there someday.
Yeah. Do you know anything about Niagara?
Well, Niagara, Marilyn holds the world record in that film for the longest walk in cinema, which is actually 116 feet, which is insane. And basically it was her, one of her first roles where she wasn't playing a dumb blonde as such. She was sort of, she played a sort of evil wife, I guess. It was one of her more dramatic roles for sure. She played a character named Rose, who was basically having an affair with another man. And spoiler alert, it was her first film where she dies.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't she work in that film with Joe Cotton, or am I thinking of a different story? Do you know who's in that?
It was...
Hold on.
Niagara.
Let me look. Film. Yep, Joe Cotton's in it.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Such a cool film. Like, filming in Niagara Falls was insane.
It seems like a really cool movie. I've seen it a couple times.
It's very cool. I'm a big fan of, like, noir films, so...
Yeah, it's kind of a film noir in a way. I mean, it's kind of an interesting film that she was in. Let's see, The 7-Year Itch. Great film.
Oh, amazing. So, she played a character named... Oh, she actually didn't have a proper name. She was referred to as the girl.
Yeah.
And what made me... That was one of the first films I actually saw of her. And I just remember laughing at the bathtub scene where she gets her foot stuck in the faucet. But yeah, so during that film, she was... married to her second husband at the time, Joe DiMaggio. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Joe DiMaggio. He was not the greatest to her, from my understanding.
No. So, basically, everyone knows about the iconic film, the iconic scene in The 7-Year Itch. Over the... What is it called?
The subway?
Subway. Yeah, and, so, let me just find my thing on there.
Yeah, where her dress flies up.
Yeah. And Joe, actually, he was there to watch that scene.
Oh, God.
And he... didn't like it, and
he kind of
left the scene pretty abruptly, and then there's been talk from people who knew Marilyn saying that you know, like, they heard shouting. She'd come to work with bruising after that incident, and she'd also broken her finger at the time, which people have drawn that back to, that was Joe abusing her.
Yeah, I don't like Joe DiMaggio. Arthur Miller wasn't any much better.
No, no. But yeah, I think at the end of it, I think he was sort of, in 1962, I think he was sort of trying to improve himself and become more of a friend to her. But I definitely don't think they were meant to be married.
No, because didn't he, like, bar from everybody from coming to the from the funeral or something?
Yeah, well, only close friends and family were invited. There was no real Hollywood stars invited.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Talk about, let's dive into her marriages a little bit. How did she meet Joe? Do you know?
Pretty sure she met him through, I'm actually not sure.
That's okay. I mean, it's fine. I mean, I don't really know either, but I know she was married to Arthur Miller, and I think that was her last marriage.
Yeah, so Arthur Miller was her last marriage. He wrote The Misfits for her. Like, during that time, she was sort of, she'd had 3 miscarriages. Kind of before that period, or with Arthur. So she suffered a miscarriage during the filming of Prince and the Showgirl in 1956 and then 1957. And in 1958 she had a, how do I pronounce this, a ectopic pregnancy. Which after that she, so that was during the filming of Some Like It Hot in 1958.
Oh, I forgot to talk about Some Like It Hot. We'll have to go back and talk about it.
All good. And basically after that she became really depressed. And there was, I think she actually tried to commit suicide. And she was prescribed pills to sort of help her with her depression.
God.
Yep.
That's not good. You saw what happened with Judy Garland when they did that.
Yeah.
And now they did this. Not a good idea.
Like, no. It basically, like, you know, you get addicted and then it, like, destroy someone, really.
I think it destroyed her life completely. But that's just me.
No, definitely.
Yeah, let's talk about Some Like It Hot. Great, iconic film.
It's definitely one of my favorite films.
Yes.
Very funny.
Oh, yes. There's this part in the movie where they're all on the train and they're having band rehearsal. And Jack Lemmon goes, "Excuse me, Mr. Beanstalk, can I have my flask back?" And he goes, "Your flask?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, just a little bourbon."
I love it.
I know, and she goes, "Beanstalk! I thought I told you no drinking in this outfit." I just love Jack Lemmon. I feel like that movie, if anybody wants to get into Marilyn Monroe, they have to either watch Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, Some Like It Hot, 7 Year Itch, Prince and the Showgirl. Prince and the Showgirl, they actually made a movie about the making of that movie called My Week with Marilyn. Have you heard of that?
I've seen it, yeah.
What do you think of it?
I think Michelle Williams did a really good job playing Marilyn. However, I think they made her kind of, look, the thing people talk about is they claim Marilyn as some sort of victim. And she wasn't a victim. And I feel like they kind of made her look like that in the film. And they kind of just focused on, you know, like, how sad she was, how depressed she was. And, like, people don't focus on her strength enough. She was so strong, so brave. And, you know, that makes me pretty mad.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think it was portrayed pretty well.
Yeah, because I saw it twice, and I enjoyed it. And Michelle Williams, I think, either she was nominated or she got the Oscar for My Week with Marilyn. I don't remember if she got it or not. But she did a very good job. And I think playing Marilyn Monroe, speaking of biopics, have you seen any more biopics of her? Because there are a few out there that are horrendous.
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of The Secret Life of Marilyn Monroe, and oh my god, do not recommend.
Mm-hmm.
It is very inaccurate, and they've obviously gotten their information from, there's a book that they based it off, and just no accuracy at all.
Hmm. Yeah, because I know Marilyn has a lot of books written about her and a lot of biopics, and she's also portrayed as this dumb blonde. What do you think Marilyn's personality was really like?
This is something that I love talking about.
Mm-hmm.
She was, people always think she was a dumb blonde. She was not like that at all. Something that I really admire her for is how intelligent she really was.
Mm-hmm.
She was a massive reader, and she was just always wanting to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty sure she actually attended a arts course.
The actor studio, right?
Yeah. She was so just always admired art, admired literature. She was so caring of everyone. Like, there are so many stories of people complimenting her, like what she was wearing, and then the next day they'd get it from her. She'd give it to them, and she just really cared for nature and animals. She worried about, you know, like trees in a storm. She worried about her dog Hugo.
Mm-hmm.
He was a basset hound, and you know, because his stomach was so low on the ground, she worried that you know, he would hurt himself walking over rocks or something. And her strength is something that I really admire. I think she was just very strong and brave. She was put through a lot.
Yeah.
And she was also very much into poetry. I'm actually looking at her Fragments book right now. Yeah. So I think that's, her strength and her intelligence are something that people don't often, they kind of overlook that.
Mm-hmm. And then we must talk about the way she died. Very controversial, yeah. Of course. Everyone thinks she was murdered. I don't think she was murdered.
I don't either.
I think it was an accidental overdose. That's what I think it was.
That's what I think it was, too. People, this is what gets me angry. People only focus on the conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't take the time to, you know, do their research, look at the facts. You know, like, people think that she was, could have been injected by something. But if you look at the autopsy report, it clearly shows that there was nothing on her body that shows that she could have been injected. People need to, I think, take into account her mental health and the trauma she went through. And obviously she tried to overdose in the past. But I really don't think she actually meant to kill herself this time.
Yeah, I think it was an accident.
Yeah, and, yeah, like, people also go into the JFK theories.
Mm-hmm.
That he killed her.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
There was, it's really interesting, there's a guy named Craig Harvey who has basically researched her passing more than anyone. And he did a Q&A a couple of years back, and he strictly said there was no evidence of foul play whatsoever.
Yeah. She basically ingested those pills and she died.
Yeah. He said, you know, like, it was, people think that her her autopsy that was performed, it wasn't thorough enough.
Mm-hmm.
But they did. They did an extra thorough investigation. And people are actually making a, a petition or something? A petition to actually, like, mm-hmm. change her death certificate, which I think is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think so, too, just to be honest, on the safe side.
Yeah. So she, he said that, you know, she took probably between 25 to 40 pills that night.
Mm.
Which is so sad.
Mm-hmm. And how old was she? She wasn't that old either.
She was only 36.
36. Oh.
And she was in the middle of filming Something's Gotta Give.
Mm-hmm.
Which was her last film that she worked on
mm-hmm.
with George Barris as the director.
Mm-hmm. I thought she got fired from that film.
She did for a bit. She got really sick mm-hmm. With a sinus infection. And, you know, she wasn't showing up to work. Her doctor strictly told her not to
mm-hmm.
turn up. But, you know, they insisted on keeping the film going.
Of course.
Yeah, and she was, you know, fired for being ill and not turning up, which is insane. She had to do a nude scene in the film, in the pool.
Yeah.
Which was, like, hours and hours of shooting. And, you know, she was really ill, but, you know, she kept going, which is amazing.
Yeah.
She was also, one of the reasons she was fired as well was because during that time, she flew to New York to sing Happy Birthday for the president.
Mm-hmm.
Which they were like, well, you're sick and you flew to New York.
And she did it.
Yeah. And it's one of the most iconic moments in history.
The footage is on YouTube if you ever want to check it out, friends. It is on YouTube. Go just type in Marilyn Monroe singing Happy Birthday. It's there, I promise. And she sounds fine. Like, she doesn't sound like she's sick at all, but apparently she's dying over here with a sinus infection.
Yeah, pretty much. I literally could not pull that off at all.
I don't think anybody could pull that off, really.
No.
So, let's rank the top five Marilyn Monroe movies in your eyes. What are the top five that everybody should go and watch?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say my favorites.
Yes.
My comfort film. Heaps of people think it's overrated, but mm-hmm. honestly, I just love it. So mm-hmm. I'd put Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd probably put, ooh, Misfits, second.
Oh, interesting choice.
My reason for that is because it's, I think she really kind of showed the world that she could do dramatic performances.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really resonate with her character, Rosalind, as well.
Yeah.
So I definitely put that one second. Third, I'd say... Ooh. You know what? Don't Bother to Knock is a great one.
Yes.
I think it's really underrated.
Mm-hmm.
So, for people who haven't seen it, definitely go check it out.
Please.
It's
very good.
I think it really touches on mental health really well.
It really does. Absolutely. Because she is a disturbed babysitter. Very disturbed.
Yes, very. And, you know, it shocked me how well she played that role. I think really she, like, there's a photo of her, just to go off track for a sec, there's mm-hmm. a photo of her in, getting her makeup done for, Clash by Night.
Mm-hmm.
And she's standing there literally in character.
And wow.
I just think that's amazing. Like, she was just so great, so talented.
Absolutely.
Okay. Next film, I'm gonna put Some Like It Hot.
Mm-hmm.
What are we up to? Four. Mm-hmm. And then I'd probably put Clash by Night.
Mm-hmm. That's a good movie, too. Not many people know that she was in Clash by Night.
She had a few... Like, she wasn't really in it. Like, she was kind of a supporting actor.
Mm-hmm.
But when she was in it, she was incredible.
Absolutely.
So, fifth, I'm going to put... I'm honestly probably going to put either Bus Stop or Niagara.
Uh-huh.
Bus Stop is another one of my comfort films. I just think it was very funny.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, it's Cherie.
It's been a long time since I've seen Bus Stop, but actually it's so funny. I used to own, here in America, we do box sets. And a long time ago, I think it was maybe 3 to 4 years ago, I would say, that there was a Marilyn Monroe box set at Barnes and Nobles, and I bought it, and it had Bus Stop in it. So it had Bus Stop, it had 7 Year Itch, it had Gentlemen's Prefer Blondes, it had Niagara. I can't remember what else it had in there because I don't know where the box set is anymore. But I used to have this Marilyn box set, and I loved it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We do that too, but there aren't very many of them here.
Uh huh.
It's really hard to get, in Australia, it's really hard to get your hands on, like, old Hollywood stuff, which is really frustrating.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
This has really been a blast. And for those of you who want to ask more questions about Marilyn Monroe, follow Sammy at, what you're at?
Baby Monroe X, which is, I like to think of it as a kiss.
Uh-huh. So Baby Monroe X, go follow her if you have any more questions or really any interest in Marilyn Monroe. She is an underrated, I think she's underrated. Even though she's iconic, I still think she's underrated as an actress.
Definitely, yeah. It definitely goes unlooked.
Yeah. Because most people, when they think of Marilyn Monroe, they just think of the dress flying up or they just think of Some Like It Hot. Which is great, you know, those films are iconic, but at the same time, she, you know, her other works are kind of underlooked as well.
Oh, for sure.
All right, well, thank you for joining us on this episode of Movie Magic, and we will see you next time.